Go Strategic is pleased to present the School of Strategic Living. This is Lesson 18, entitled Becoming Problem Solvers by Katherine Gallagher. Good afternoon. I'm going to be sharing with you today about becoming problem solvers. I don't know if there's a more practical message than what I'm about to share, because problems are consistent, they are everywhere, they happen to us regardless of age, ethnicity, gender, location. Problems are part of life. And if we want to have a successful and godly life, we need to learn how to best deal with problems and become effective problem solvers. So that is what we are going to be starting with today. One of my favorite phrases that my father, Dennis Peacock, says is, power is guarded by problems. Problems we tend to look at very negatively because often they're difficult, they're hard, they're challenging. But the reality is, when we solve them God's way and we go through them, we do gain access to His power. And we gain power over different areas of our life, and we are able to be a more effective witness. So in how we approach problems, we can realize that often our destiny can actually be revealed in embracing problems as opportunities. How many times have you looked back maybe on challenges in your life and realized, wow, that actually was preparing me for this? And if I had just been, God, get me out of this situation, get me out of this problem, I would have never learned the skills that I needed to be equipped for what God had coming for me. So we want to approach problems that way. So much in our culture is about comfort, right? I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be in pain. I'm conflict avoidant. All those things that we see so prevalent. But that is not how God has designed us to be. He wants us to be able to be equipped to engage problems from a biblical perspective in a godly way so that we can help those around us grow as people, help solve problems in the community, in our nations. So what is a problem? Webster's Dictionary defines it as, a problem is a question raised for inquiry, consideration, or solution. Something that is difficult to deal with. Something that is a source of trouble, worry, etc., or difficulty in understanding something. So that is what a problem is. And you can see in there some of the challenges, of course, that our human nature would have in dealing with problems because they are difficult, they produce worry, they have all these negative associations with them that tend to make us as human beings want to shy away from them. Because by their very nature, they're tricky. But problems have really, they've always been with us. And actually, this is an interesting idea I'm going to present to you, that they were with us even before the fall, problems were. Adam was given the task of naming the animals and subduing the earth. That was a problem. It was something he had to solve. He had to look at, okay, how am I going to deal with this? It took some understanding. It took the need for solutions, right? So we actually had problems even going back into Genesis. Now, problems did, however, take a more different dynamic following the fall, of course, as we see in Genesis 3, because once we fell and we had sin enter the world, we ended up with problems associated with sin and a more complex issues associated with them because of sin. And because of this, we find that the natural condition of the garden became weeds, right? The natural condition of the garden is weeds. Originally, it was designed to be beautiful, well-manicured, fruitful in fruit, you know, all things. And then after the fall, we discovered that, no, actually now what it's really going to start out is weeds. Which means, of course, if the natural condition of the garden is weeds, what do we have to do to produce weeds and problems? Nothing. So if we're passive, if we're floating along, if we're not actively pursuing the things of God, we will always naturally have those weeds come up, because that's the natural state of the garden, weeds. We see then, though, that there is the law of redemption, that we can redeem the the weeded gardens, the issues that are fallen. There is room for redemption, and we can work on these things, right? In Proverbs, we see Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. How easily things just fall by the wayside and the garden turns to weeds if we are not paying attention and we are not proactive in the ways of God. Now, God is totally sovereign over all human affairs, right? We see in numerous places in the scripture how the Lord is sovereign, how his word stands forever, his promises, all those things. And now we have to consider that with his sovereignty when we look at tough things that come our way, tough problems. Of course, first person we think of in the Bible when we think of problems, tough, Job, right? Look at Job. Job, how he responded to the problems. And of course, it's a great, that's a whole other separate teaching. But if you look and study the life of Job, of course, you can see an incredible response of how you see his friends responded as opposed to him and his wife. And you see all these different possible responses and attributes and ways that others, maybe well-meaning, are trying to help solve your problem. But again, if they're not aligned with understanding the ultimate sovereignty of God, they will not be able to ultimately solve the problem. So we see that there as we look at that, that there can be multiple factors for why we have problems, but we need to rest in God's sovereignty as we are dealing with them. And also resist disillusionment, right? Understanding that they are here. Relative to the life of Job, as we look at Job's life, we see that strength grows through struggles. Courage develops in challenges, and wisdom matures from wounds. I love that last line, wisdom matures from wounds. How many of us have been through things that we really would rather have not gone through? And yet, the fruit, the wisdom that we can see coming from that wound. And again, the hope is, my pastor talks about this, the difference of having wounds versus scars, that eventually we want it to be able to heal over. You're still going to have the scar. We still know that happened, but it's not an open, gaping wound, right? So we want to get to where we're able to be in a place of maturity with maybe tough circumstances, things that weren't right, weren't fair, tough problems we went through, but be able to hold it with wisdom and be developed through it, not ruined by it. We know problems are going to come. It's part of life. As we said before, power is guarded by problems. Problems teach us to recognize the complications arising from disobeying God and breaking spiritual or natural laws. Now, of course, not all problems are the fruit of our direct disobedience, right? Many problems can be fruit of others' disobedience. So, and there's also some problems, as we talked about actually in an earlier session, that simply do come down to a misunderstanding. And so we need discernment to figure out, and we're going to talk about this here today, what type of problem we're dealing with. And we're going to talk about the different types of problems that we have. Now again, problems are cross-cultural. They cover every culture, every nation, every people group. It's not like, you know, problems are only in certain parts. And what's amazing is, because they are so consistent, so pervasive worldwide, and because there are foundational principles that are underlying effective problem solving, we can be trained to be effective problem solvers in a way that will work in any culture. If we get down to the foundational level of understanding what type of problem we are dealing with, what the root issues are, then it actually, again, will empower us and enable us to work in any situation, because yes, there may be certain factors that are slightly different with nuances of the situation or the culture, but ultimately we're going to find they all have very similar roots. So when we can think that way and understand, and again, approaching problems as not something to be avoided, but something to grow through, something, look, if I've got to go through this, I'd like to at least grow through this, right? So we want to approach them with that in mind. Next, we're looking at understanding God's purposes for problems. Problems were designed by God to empower us, as I mentioned before. 1 Timothy, we see he who rules his own house well, talking about the importance of ruling in our homes. In Revelation, we see he says, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." We see lots of examples in the scripture where dominion, overcoming, problem solving, dealing with the fallen world, those are all designed to grow us up. They are all designed for us to then be a healer for the nations, and thus, in the way that we solve problems, we can help those around us. We can rebuild communities, we can help our nation, we can help our families. Now, as we see also in the scripture, problems can be a doorway to destiny. I love the story of Esther, I'm sure many of you do. Esther was born for such a time as this. She had a problem, obviously. Well, one, let's be honest, she was forced to marry this guy. I view that as a problem. we know nothing about, she was obedient and did what she was supposed to do. We are not given the impression that this king was much of a nice guy, as we know from how he treated his prior wife, who became a widow by his own choice, right? So we know that he was not the best husband, right? So Esther is put in this difficult situation, and then it's compounded when she finds out of the schemes, of course, that are going against her people. So she's in actually a very negative situation. She's in a forced marriage, and now she's found out that her people are about to be wiped out. And yet, of course, what do we see? In that difficult situation that she was in, her response, submission to her uncle and the word of the Lord coming through him, she risked her life numerous times in how she came to the king, as we know, and in through that, saved her entire people. And if she had not been in the problem, that unfortunate marriage, that no choice of her own circumstance, she would have never been able to have achieved what she achieved. So we look at that as a really great example. And of course, the other one often we look to is Joseph, right? Joseph, jealous brothers, sold him into slavery. I mean, there you just look at the trauma alone of your own brothers turning on you. A lot of us have had betrayal, but that's pretty up there for your family to throw you in a pit and sell you. That's a rough one. So of course, looking at Joseph, and as we know, again, as difficult as that problem, that unrighteous thing that happened to him, unjust, all those things, it was not fair, it was not just, it was a problem. And yet through that, we see him obviously saving his family and ultimately, the nation of Israel. And that's, again, incredible when you look at he went through that. And again, you look at his process of how he handled that problem, right? He was in a process of forgiveness and connection to the Lord, where he said, "I understand, that God, don't you worry about this." Remember, he talked to his brothers, "Don't you worry about this. What the enemy intended for evil, God worked for good." And his whole perspective, as he was in this unjust situation, was, "I'm going to just stay connected to the Lord, even though this isn't right." Right? And so it wasn't bitterness. It wasn't scheming. Even like, he could have escaped. Right? I'm going to get out of this problem. When am I going to escape? I'm going to run away. This isn't right. I'm not supposed to be in this slavery. And I'm not saying that's not right in other circumstances, but for him, he had to be aware of okay, God, do I sit in this? Is this what you want me to be in? Even when it's not right. So he sat there, he was in that. And that's, again, I think such an incredible example of even though he could/should have gotten out of it, he stayed. And the Lord honored that. And the Lord brought this amazing testimony of him saving his brothers and his family. And a little side note on this that I love when I was doing some research on him, he named his son Manasseh. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. Anyone want to correct me? Go for it. But I believe it's Manasseh, which means God made me forget the pain of my troubles, basically. He named his first son that. And I think it's such an interesting thing, because obviously he knew he suffered. He was very traumatized, betrayed. It was a very, very rough thing that he went through. And yet in that, and he's not denying, he wasn't in denial that he went through that. But at the same time, he wasn't living in bitterness. And it was like God gave him this special, and I pray for that for all of us that wrestle with things, that he gave him this extra grace that made him forget the pain of his troubles. He knew he'd been through it, but he didn't still carry the pain. And I know that's God's desire for us when we are hitting rough things that way and problems. And I love that story. I looked it up. It's kind of a little side thing, but it's very powerful when you read it in the scripture. We see Esther, we see Joseph. They sat in it. They sat in the pain of the problem, of the unjust circumstance, of the wrongfully accused, all those things, right? They sat in that, and they're wonderful examples to us to see how to handle that when we are being wronged or we are in something that is very, very extreme or difficult. But of course, we also will see things that are more on just the practical side, smaller side type problems that we need to deal with. So some are obviously very huge and can feel overwhelming, major life issues. But then we also have just the reality of every day. How do we function in a healthy way? Because again, faithful in little, faithful in much. We also want to be effective in the small things. So there's two ways to solve problems, right? There's God's way and there's man's way. There are two different ways for how we approach it, right? Problems will encourage us towards obedience. If we look at them properly, if we have the right perspective towards them, they will push us towards obedience. Because sometimes when we are in unjust situations or we're dealing with a problem that is very difficult, we are forced to go back to, how does God have me behave in this? How do I handle this situation? Is this a turn the other cheek situation? Or is this I need to step back, and you know, there's different examples in scriptures we can look at, or what are the biblical ways that we approach? And you will see this sometimes, of course. Proverbs is full of this, things that seem contrary, right? Don't answer a fool according to his folly, but do answer him, because if you don't, you'd be like, you know how they conflict, it seems, but they don't. When we're looking at problems, we need to have discernment. Okay, in this problem, there is this approach from the Lord. I can find it in the scripture. And then we also see that the Lord also will sometimes say, from here. It's not inconsistent. It is simply just a different approach, still coming from the same spirit and the same principle. But sometimes we may apply it in a slightly different way. Does that make sense? And we can see that in the Proverbs quite a bit when we're evaluating, looking for wisdom out of the book of Proverbs, will show different ways to handle problems God's way. As opposed to, of course, man's way, which we can look at. You need any examples of that, just watch any of the Real Housewives shows, and you will see man's way of dealing with problems. There's a lot in the media that you can see for wonderful dysfunctional approaches to solving problems. We don't want to go that way because we know it doesn't work. It may make for good TV, but it does not work. We want God's way of solving problems. So sometimes simple obedience can solve a problem, right? And God requires obedience. I laugh sometimes because, you know, you see people going, I just don't know what to do. You know, I have this exact situation with someone in a small group that I was leading. You know, I just don't know what to do. I'm living, you know, she's a believer in my small group and says, you know, I'm living with my boyfriend and it's just so hard because, you know, he's not a believer and I just don't know what to do. I'm like, you don't know what to do? A simple way to solve this problem would be to obey what the Lord says, which would be you would not be living with someone that you're not married to, let alone someone that's not a believer. So I'm not sure why this is so complicated, but you will get folks that will think that way. And it's like, actually, no, like we need to first look, do I need to just be obedient to the ways of God? Let's start there. Simple idea, but let's start there. Let's look at, okay, what are the ways of God? Now, in some things, it may not be that cut and dry, but sometimes it is. So sometimes it's just, let's be obedient. And of course, problems also can lead to repentance. Sometimes the Lord will allow difficult things in our life to bring us to repentance in areas where we need to change, right? So it's important also to remember that God uses them to mold our character, and also to bring us to further alignment with him. We want to be aligned with the will and ways of God. And again, if we look at problems as simply judgment or a fallen world or all these different totally negative connotations, we can sometimes miss what God has for us in them. There often is opportunity for us in those problems, even if they're not our first choice of how we would come to repentance or learn how to deal with certain issues in our lives. Problems also teach us dependence on God. Can I get an amen? They definitely teach us dependence on God. Man, there's, and I don't know how it is for you guys, but you know, it does seem, thank the Lord, it's seasonal that there'll be a certain issue that is up, and it will come up again and again and again in different relationships or different work situations or whatever, and you go, okay, this is a problem. And often I'll see, like for myself, the problem is me and how I respond to it. Okay, I'm having a hard time with this again. Oh, here it is again. Okay, the Lord is clearly working on patience in me, or the Lord is clearly working on my fear of man, or whatever it is. And so we'll see those themes come up too when we are processing. So again, we can't just, you know, chalk it all up to warfare. It's warfare and the devil's after me. Often it is actually the Lord actually trying to reach us, allowing things to happen, to come up, maybe painful, maybe not fair. But again, what's the ultimate point? God wants to grow us up. God wants us to be able to effectively solve problems in a way that not only help us, but help others. So as I learn and I see these problems coming up over and over, they definitely make me dependent on the Lord, because I've got to go back to him and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? I keep having the same issue. What is going on here? And the Lord will be faithful to show us, won't he? I know he's been faithful to show me. I see it over and over, and then I go, okay, now I see what you're after. And then we can respond, and hopefully respond in a godly way. Problems also teach us to get in touch with our limitations. So, you know, we see in the scripture, even with Paul, you know, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. I think that's in 2 Corinthians. Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh. From what we know, the Lord never fully removed that, right? He allowed that to be there. And again, was that fair? And yet, what did it do for Paul? It kept Paul connected to the Lord. I think it probably helped keep him really humble in those that he was dealing with. There are folks sometimes that do just get stuck in things. And what better grace can we have when we understand when we've got our own struggles of things that we're working on too? So the Lord will still allow things sometimes to sit there. And that's not to say that he won't ever set us free. Often the Lord can help us in many ways for freedom. But it also is important to note that we may never be fully comfortable. We may have that thorn, whatever that is. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. In fact, I would argue it means he loves you even more, because he's allowing that because he knows that you'll use it. If you're connected well with him, you'll use it. The Lord will use it to allow you to be a more effective servant of him and reaching others. And of course, the Lord wants to fellowship with us through the process, right? We're a lot quieter with the Lord often when things are going well, right? Don't we tend to pray quite a bit more when we're having a tough time? Now, I wish it wasn't that way. I'd love it to be that we were more often regularly in dialogue with him, but problems do push us into the Lord on a whole other level, depending on what you're dealing with. So the Lord can use it again to have more fellowship with him. And even in a more intimate way, I think about the scripture talking about, you know, fellowshipping with Christ in his sufferings. There is something in there for us, I think, to look at, that as tough as it is when we go through things, I think about just the connection actually that can bring to us to the person of Jesus Christ. Often we think of, you know, big God. But also when we look at Jesus as a man, you know, he literally sweat blood. Even though he knew he was obedient, he was going to do it, but he still went through it. It was still painful. And he still, towards the end, was going, Lord, if you want to take this cup. I mean, that's some suffering. That's some problems that he was trying to work through. And this is our divine Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a fellowship, though, I think, for us in that. When you hit that level of suffering, of pain that Christ was in. Again, when we hit that too, there's a fellowship there that we can have with him that I think is actually very sweet. You know what it is? When you bond with someone else who's maybe been through something really tough like you've been through, there's an immediate kinship with someone that way. You know, I think of people I know who, you know, maybe went through abuse in their childhood or infidelity or lack of a, you know, had no dad in the home and had certain things that went down because of that, struggles with, you know, a single mom or whatever different issues that came up that may have produced pain for that person in their life. When you find someone else who's been through that, there's this kinship that happens immediately, I find, at least with many folks. And there's a sweetness in that because you've been pressed. You've been challenged. You've been squeezed, you know, but that produces, you know, I think there's a quote that talks about a diamond was once just a lump of coal. The pressure that happens, what the beauty that can still be produced from that. And that, of course, is God's ultimate goal in redemption, right? To bring beauty from ashes, to grow us up, to redeem the fallen world. So I think there's a special sweetness that we can have, actually, and I encourage you to press into that when you are in a time of struggle, that can actually bring a whole other level of communion for you with the Lord, because he went through it too. Christ went through it, you know? He was there too. How do we solve problems? In 5 easy steps. No, not quite, but I'm going to give you some practical tips here around problem solving. One of the big issues with problems is because we are so conflict avoidant and often we want to just get out of it or we want a quick fix. Often we want a quick fix. But as we know, if you understand the God that we serve, he is not about quick fixes. Sorry to tell you if you thought otherwise. He is fine to let us sit in the process for as long as we need to get the result that he is looking for. Sometimes it's going to take time. Sometimes we may have immediate divine revelation. We can fix it. But often it takes time. So, attributes of a self-conscious problem solver. We need to attack problems and the circumstances in which they develop. So we do need to recognize what they are and actively go after them. We need a purposed drive for solution. So again, we can't be conflict avoidant. We need to be aware that we need to seek a solution. We need skilled application of principles and resources. So again, going back to some of our worldview training, some of our communication skills, we need to make sure that we are applying those principles and resources. So simple thing of a problem solving. You know, I often have a lot more patience for children that are not my own. I think many of you may have had that. So I get an amen again. So I always laugh because people, I work with young children often because I actually have a dance studio and I've taught young children for years in dance. And the parents are always like, oh, you're so patient. You're so amazing. And I'm like, thank you. I'm like, you should see me at home. The problem of that is, again, problem solving at home, right? I know the principle that I need to be patient with my children, right? But my fallen nature and my familiarity, my big problem is familiarity. Again, what's the root? What's the root of my problem? Well, I know that I should be patient. I know how I want to relate to my children. And I know that I'm capable of relating well to children because I do it at my other job, right? And yet somehow I'm not doing it here. Well, why am I not doing it here? Well, I've got the problem of, in that circumstance, familiarity. That's my problem in that circumstance. So we need to look at, too, okay, where I know these certain skill sets, why am I not applying that skill set here? Because we often do that. So there may be something that we need to look, okay, what's the roadblock here for me applying what I know I should be doing? So that's one way also to look at it. Skilled application of principles and resources. We have to be persistent in our effort until completion. Now again, sometimes this takes time. Sometimes it's wonderfully immediate. Sometimes it's a long process. And that's again where we need the Holy Spirit. Is this the time? Sometimes we think God says no, and it's actually not now. So we need to be aware of God's timing. God's timing is, I believe, just as important as God's way. They've got to be together because his timing matters. And often if we do something out of the proper timing, we can actually produce more disastrous results. This is talked about in the teachings in Living Life God's Way, one of my favorite teachings that we have. And he talks about, you know, so often we want to help people that maybe we think of the idea of a cocoon. They're in the cocoon, and we want to help them. They're stuck in the cocoon. We got to get them out of the cocoon, so we're going to go cut the cocoon. Well, what happens if you cut the cocoon too soon? It's going to die because it's not ready. It can't fly. It's too soon. It's too early. It will die. And so too often, because we want to get ourselves or others out of pain, we seek to cut that cocoon. And that's not the timing that God has for it, so it produces disastrous results. So we can't just be motivated of trying to cut our own cocoon or our friends, our children, those around us. Sometimes we have to let it sit. We've got to be aware of the timing of God. We also want to be in a mode of discovery. It's another step of being a good problem solver. We need to be in a mode of discovery. Often we assume we know what's going on. And the reality is, most often, there's a lot of other stuff going on behind that. Rarely are problems as simple as we think they are. You got a bad attitude because you're fallen and you just got a bad attitude. Well, no, wait, why do you have a bad attitude? Let's go and let's look at this, right? I'm thinking of, I had a woman call me irate about, she showed up at the dance studio that I have and said, I signed up for this class and no one was there. What kind of business do you run? Just irate, went off on me, you know, didn't even let me talk at all. Just totally irate, complaining all these things, and obviously very high strung. Now, my first response dealing with this problem is I'm gonna put this woman in her place. Okay, what are you talking about? Because here's the reality, guys, she showed up on the wrong day. Class wasn't even happening. But she let me have it. And again, the side of truth was, you're wrong, woman. You were here on the wrong day. I could have said that, right? And honestly, that was the first thing that I thought of. I'm going to tell this woman. That was the first thing that I thought of. And yet, thank you, Holy Spirit, because thank you, Lord. I had my mind right that day, and I don't always. But luckily, I was in a decent space that day where I could hear the Holy Spirit. And he said, pause. And I had just a reminder of like, okay, you have no idea where this woman is coming from. And she's throwing so much anger and attitude at you. There is no way this is about your dance class. So took a deep breath, said, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm not sure. I believe actually the class you're talking about actually was yesterday. And, you know, just responded kind of calm and said, I'm sorry. And I think I literally said something to her like, I'm sorry. It sounds like you're kind of maybe having a rough morning. I'm really sorry. She almost started crying. She's like, oh, yes, you wouldn't believe. And then off she goes telling me actually there's a bunch of stuff going on. She'd had a terribly stressful morning, all sorts of things, and was just on the edge. And responded, and then by the end of the conversation, she's just thanking me for my graciousness, and I think I told her I'd pray for her too. So it was it ended up being actually a wonderful exchange. It ended wonderfully sweet, and again, my first thought, even as a business owner, you think, the first response is, well, I've got to put this person in their place too, because this is going to negatively affect my business, right? She's going to go around town telling everybody that they're not even there when the class, you know, that does happen. So you know, that's the kind of logical response that we would have. This is how I'm going to fix this problem. I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to put her in her place and be done. And there's a level I could have been right in doing that, but that would that have been the will of God for me in that situation? No. We have to look at that too, of how we respond and the timing in which, and again, looking at the context, because often there are other things going on behind the problem. So in that, again, we have to be positioned to hear the Holy Spirit, to be able to respond to the problem, to be aware, God, do you want to use me in this situation? Now, he may not in everyone. There also, we do have, you know, we're not saying be busybodies going around and getting in everybody's business and trying to solve every problem you see, but we need to be aware, okay, Lord, what do you have for me in this? Is this something you want for me to respond to? Or how do you want me to respond to this? So in doing that, we do need to remember that we need to take up our cross daily. Right? It's daily. There's a reason the scripture says daily. It's not enough just to go, well, I picked my cross up last week. Well, no, but it's daily, because that's the reality of our humanity. That's the reality of the world we're living in. So we have to pick it up daily. Of course, we need the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned before. Scripture reference for you, John 16:13. We need him. We need to develop our personal disciplines. Again, think about my earlier comment. You know, I my patience has got to increase as I am handling more and more problems, right? So we've got to develop our personal disciplines. We need to remind ourselves on a daily basis. Look, problems are going to happen, people. I know for a little bit of time, I think I was optimistic enough to go like, if I can just get to this point, everything will be smooth. But I think we realize the older we get, there's never going to be a point where everything is smooth because we're in a fallen world. And yes, we can improve, we can grow, we can have amazing, wonderful times of joy in our life. But the reality is problems are consistently going to be there. And the sooner we come to peace with that and we quit fighting it, the better we're going to do in engaging life. And we won't be so swayed by when stuff comes. It's going to be more like, wow, something didn't big come today is really more how we should approach life, right? You know, it's the reality is there's a lot, and it won't be when we have that approach, that positive approach to, okay, Lord, what can I do? How can I help in this situation? What are you trying to teach me? It also changes our mindset, right? It's going to help us not battle as much, you know, frustration, disappointment, disillusionment. You know, if we can set our sights to understand, you know what, this is part of the world we're living in, and God wants us to thrive even in the midst of it. So approaching it that way. Of course, we need to also look at, I already mentioned not being a busybody. We also want to make sure, another practical tip, don't make big decisions, serious problem solving, when you're tired, when you're fatigued. We do things out of our fatigue. We tend to, you know, not necessarily respond in the best way. We need to be able to be in a place to actually engage, hear the Lord, sit on it. So often I'm learning we need to sit on things a lot longer than we think. So remembering timing, not doing it when you're tired, being aware of all that. Asking for help and counsel. There's a novel idea, but it sure seems novel to a lot of us, doesn't it? Well, you know what, I'll just pray about it and the Lord will let me know. Yes, it is very good to pray about it. And yes, sometimes the Lord does let us know directly. But you know what also happens? In a multitude of counsel, there is safety. And when we are dealing with complex issues, relational problems, work problems, there's so many different examples of, you know, should I stay at my job or should I leave my job? There's these issues going on. What should I do? I've got this issue in my marriage. I've got this issue with my kid. I've got this issue with my coworker. I have this issue with my pastor. We need counsel because, again, when we think about the reality that often our views are skewed by the glasses that we have on, by our own experiences, our own history, all those things, they can skew our perspective. So when we're looking to solve problems, especially relational problems, often we need counsel to help us have a broader perspective of what is going on. When we're able to have victory in that area, what a wonderful testimony to others. And what a wonderful testimony to all those involved. All right, so problems, when we are dealing with these, of course, they can either promote us or they can, not demote us, but they can really work to promote us or bind us, basically. We can get stuck in them, right? And that all depends on how we respond to them. So quote we have here, problems promote us or hinder us according to our ability to deal with them. We can see people, seen it with myself, seen it with others, that are just stuck because they have not been able to solve some of these issues. You've got to look, well, why are you not able to solve this issue? What is going on with it? What is the nature of this problem? Is it a relational problem? Is it an executional problem? Is it a perspective problem? What kind of problem is it? We got to define what kind of problem it is and look at then, how are we going to solve it? What are the root issues involved with it? And when we become more effective problem solvers, they do qualify us for greater responsibility. We see that example in the scripture in numerous parables where they're given a problem situation, right? You need to, what are you going to do with this? And when we respond, of course, we are given greater responsibility when we're able to effectively solve the problem and do that. Now, also sometimes, though, the Lord will use problems to keep us from touching new levels of responsibility that we are not yet ready for. Sometimes problems come in the form of a roadblock or a speed bump that is actually God's protection for us. Because we think, oh, I've got this, I'm going to go there. And actually, sometimes that problem will come as a way to slow us down. Because sometimes there may be things that we think we're ready for that we're actually not. And God uses those to help us stay where we need to be at that time. Problems produce pressure that reveals where we really are in our maturing process. God wants us to give us good things, but he wants to give us in a way that produces growth and maturity. So when he does it, it's going to produce those good things. But again, if we're not ready for it, I've heard this in several of the teachings too, some here and other places, that, you know, if you don't have the character to back up the position, you're in big trouble. And we may be trying to jump into positions that we're not ready for because our character is not there yet. And so problems may come up and reveal that. They may reveal, oh, wow, I'm really not ready for this. So God can use those problems to help us see that. Also, lastly, coming down the home stretch here, problems are, though, often a provision from God. You look at Joshua and Caleb in the situation when they went in and the enemies were food. It's a totally different perspective. You know, you got everybody else going in there, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? What's going on? There's no way. Look at all this. No way. And then they come back like, oh, yeah, we got this. They are our food. They had a totally different perspective of something that many others viewed as a major problem. But again, their difference was because of their connection to the Lord and knowing what he had promised for them, they didn't view that as a problem. They viewed it as, okay, this is just a step the Lord's going to take us through because we know what he's going to give us. So we have that option as well when we are looking at them. And often our responses to problems also tend to reveal where we're really at. Sometimes we don't understand God's desire for us. Sometimes problems come, we're like, God, why? God, why? And maybe it's because we actually don't understand his ultimate purpose for us. There may be things that he's allowed to happen that, again, are keeping us from where we're actually not supposed to go. They're roadblocks, as we said. And again, looking at that earlier example with Joshua and them, you know, sometimes there's things in our life that God has intended that would be food for us, right? That we've actually reacted against. We've rejected it because we don't want to deal with it. It's a problem. It's work. Have we rejected things that God has actually allowed that were meant to be food for us? Things to grow us up, things to take us into the promised land. Have we reacted against those because of our attitude towards problems and towards pain? Problems also force us to understand and apply with excellence both leadership and management skills. The more we deal with problems, the more you become an effective leader and manager. Straight up. And that's often the way we'll see maturity in people. Is when I look at people that I've seen been through numerous different situations, you see how it just pulls them up. That's somebody I want to work for. That's somebody I want to be led by. Look how they handled that, right? When we see people effectively handling issues, and again, it's not, oh gosh, well, they went through this. And so oh, they went through that? And they're still here? Oh, I want to talk to them. So sometimes we think of it as like, oh gosh, you know, we get judgy. We say, we were talking earlier, is he a judgy God? We get judgy of our perspective of where, you know, certain people are at because they've been through certain things. And the reality is actually, wow, we should be looking at what can we learn from them? Because they got through that. And wow, look at what that's produced. You see another level in their maturity, in their leadership, and how they manage things. Effective problem solving is an incredible tool for us also as evangelists. When people see how we deal with problems, again, as I said earlier, it's so different, the world's approach. And if we are approaching them in this godly way, what an incredible witness. And I've had it in my own personal life with numerous people coming to me that know that I'm a Christian and then have seen me deal with certain things and they go, can I talk to you? And I'm not preaching the gospel, although I am, as you know. Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. One of my favorite quotes from St. Francis of Assisi. I'm not directly saying you need Jesus, but when I'm explaining what we go through and why we did what we did, I am letting them know that they need Jesus because that's how I did it ultimately. So when I connect it to those principles, and I don't have to throw a bunch of scripture, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you know, we've got a world that finds a scripture pretty irrelevant. So you can't always quote the scripture to get somebody's attention. But if I can share with them, these are the principles, this is how I did this, this is how I dealt with this with my children, this is how I dealt with this in my business, this is how I dealt with this issue. And then they're like, wow, and they see that it works. And again, it's ultimately that's pointing them to Christ. It's pointing them to the Lord. So it's a wonderful opportunity for a healthy witness. And also, they're a common denominator. Again, they break down barriers of economics and ethnicity and culture, because we all have problems, and often they're very similar across the board. So it gives us an opportunity to really connect with people on a different way. And that's one of the wonderful things I love, actually, in particular about Go Life, is because these kind of having this here's the presuppositional word again, this presuppositional analysis allows us to really get to the heart of the problem. When we are problem solving, we are looking for the root issues, the presuppositions, the things that are behind it, so that we can more effectively solve it. Again, we're looking for the root, not just trying to fix the fruit. And that's what's so wonderful when we think this way. So lastly here, when we look at the dynamics of problems, and again, this is kind of a introduction to these ideas, they need more time, but we have three different primary issues around problems. We have that it may be a relational issue, it may be a conceptual issue, or it may be an executional issue. Short layman's terms on that. With the relational dynamic, you know, we're looking, this is often where we need to start, because most often, a lot of these issues come down to some kind of issue in the relationship. Dynamics between people, communication, all those things. Hidden agendas, unspoken hurts, personalities, all those things can contribute. Different giftings. Our giftings are great, but sometimes our giftings can come up against one another, right? So we need to look at our communication, our dynamics, what is going on in the interpersonal level of this exchange. Because if we respond inappropriately and we address a relational problem with a conceptual or executional, think my example with the woman on the phone, that really, you know, I if I'd responded in one way, I wouldn't have been answering the real issue that was going on there. The idea with the problem solving on the relational side too, understanding the perspective, I'm sure many of you have heard that story before. They use it as an example a lot with the blind men touching the elephant. You know, describe to me the elephant. Oh, well, it's got this hard tusk, and it's this, and oh no, it's wrinkled, and it's hairy, and like, oh no, it's very tall. Oh no, it's very short. Because depending on what part of the elephant the blind men are touching, they have a totally different description of this animal. It's the same animal. It's just they can only give what they perceive through their position to that animal. And so we may also have that going on, problems of perception when we are, which would go on our conceptual level also. Kind of goes between conceptual and relational on that one, but we can find also that we may have problems where it's just we have people seeing something very differently even though it's the same thing. So looking for that with our communication, with our perception, and having a proper response. The other issue here too would be something we talk about of rights versus righteousness. Sometimes my right would be to say, you wronged me. That was not right. You falsely accused me. Got all these different rights. This is infringing on my rights, the way you related to me or the way you did this to me at the business or whatever it is. But righteousness doesn't only encompass your rights, but it also looks at the context of what is going on. Just because it would have been right to do something doesn't mean it was righteous. Because righteousness is alignment with the timing, the way, the will of God. So we have to look that we're not always just in our problem solving, seeking our rights, but looking at what is righteous in this situation. So we look at the conceptual dynamic. Again, the conceptual dynamic is also just things having to deal with lack of knowledge or understanding of ideas, right? You can't just have, if we've got a problem with my car, and I'm trying to fix it. Well, I'm not a mechanic. So I am not, am I the right one conceptually to fix my car? No. So we have to look at, sometimes the problem is we have someone who's not qualified. There's a lack of knowledge. There's a lack of skill set. They're trying to solve a problem that actually they really can't. And they need to get help and get someone else who has those skill sets to come in and solve that problem. So there's sometimes that conceptual side that we have also. And learning styles can also come into play here with conceptual problems. People do learn differently, so we also need to factor in those kind of dynamics when we're looking at conceptual problems. So again, we have the relational, often where we start, a lot going on there. Then sometimes we have just the conceptual, where we're looking at a lack of skills, a lack of knowledge, something that needs to be fixed by someone who really knows how to do it. And then lastly, we have our executional problem, or the executional dynamic, which is, this is what are the tools that are required to solve or execute a task. We look at the example of the boy in the scripture with the demon, where it wasn't really a relational or conceptual problem, but rather an executional problem. Remember how they said, we've been trying to get this demon out. The disciples came to Christ and said, what about this? And he said, oh, well, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. So they hadn't executed the solving of that problem properly. They'd cast other demons out before, no problem. But this kind needed to be executed differently, i.e. with prayer and fasting. So sometimes there's a different executional dynamic that we may have with certain types of problems, which again just points us back to, we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit for discernment. We need wise counsel, time, all those things to make sure that we are properly positioned to solve this problem. In closing, I just want to encourage you all, look, I'd rather not have problems too, let's be honest. It's not fun. But it is what God has called us to. It is the nature of the world, and it is okay, because God produces wonderful fruit when we are overcomers. And thank God, you know, I don't know how, when I look at those who don't know the Lord and I look at the stuff that they're dealing with, I'm like, how are you even functioning right now? Like, there's so many tough issues going on with so many people, and without Jesus, I really don't know how they do it. And so for us to have solutions and the Lord, what a wonderful gift that we can be to others, to empower them, to help them, to continue to improve what is going on in our society, in our communities. That's our goal, that's our hope. And also remind you too, with problem solving, it's such a wonderful way, as we said before, to have a strong witness. And we talk about service. Service is so important. If you are gonna be a leader, those who lead are in service. You've got to be serving, and effective problem solving, coming in, how can we help in this situation? What can we do strategically to help? We should be on the front lines as servers dealing with the problems in our community. Because we have the answers. We should be out there. What are we gonna do about the issue with the youth in our community? What are we gonna do with the issue right now that's going on with homelessness? What are we gonna do with, you know, the unfathered? What do we do? We have solutions. There are solutions, especially because we can find what the root of the problem is instead of putting the Band-Aid on it over and over again. Hey, have we ever thought about doing this? And coming in and serving and actually helping them do it, right? Closing thought on that again, when we look at the issues around some of the accusations, of course, with the issue of abortion. You know, there's so many things of, well, you know, if you really felt that, then you should be doing this, this, and this. And my answer is actually, we are. I know a lot of us are. One of the best testimonies we can give is, are you supporting your local pregnancy counseling center? Are you supporting the unwed mother that you're aware of? Are you actually giving and doing things to help the people who are in these situations that do feel desperate enough? Like, we should be out there helping solve that problem. Are we adopting children? There's a lot of practical things that we can do to help solve that problem so that we don't have that accusation of, well, you know, easy for you to say, but you don't do all this. I'm like, actually, no, we do. I mean, I have always been very active in that way. I've loved doing that. And I worked at a pregnancy counseling center when I was in college. And just, you got to be there. You got to show up. Show up, be there, go, I'm going to be the hands and feet of Christ. I'm going to work to solve that problem. And that's just one example, but we've got a lot of those that we can be and we should be active as Christians helping solve those problems in our community. And again, in our own personal lives, not running from the pain, but recognizing, okay, Lord, you've allowed this problem. How can I best respond? How can I glean the most possible fruit and growth from it? So hopefully we won't necessarily have to go through the same problem again, but even if we do, Lord, help me glean. Help me glean, help me grow. And I want to close with one of my favorite quotes that kind of goes alongside with this. I do not pray for a lighter load, but for a stronger back. I want to have that perspective. And I think we all need to have that perspective if we're going to continue to make a change in this world. Thank you very much.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.